Well, hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I always look forward to our times being together. They are a blessing for me. They help me in my walk, my relationship with the Lord, and I pray that they do for you as well. Excuse me. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible, because I enjoy them and I look forward to them. I hope you're having a wonderful day where you are. It is a beautiful day here. We had rain last night and the night before, so it's made everything green. It's not quite as hot as it has been. You almost hope that you're beginning to see some signs of a season transitioning to fall, even though that's several weeks away. It's fun to think about seeing the possibility of that. But again, more than anything else, though, the best part about today is the fact that we get to know our Lord. He's called us to walk with Him. He's given us this time to meet with Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the day that you have given to us. Father, yes, for the beautiful weather, but most of all, oh God, for your presence in this day. Father, we praise you as the true and living God. Father, we praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your loving kindness, your righteousness, Lord, your justice. And Father, we humble ourselves before you. And Lord, I just ask that you open our minds and our hearts, Lord, to see, to understand your word and to see you, oh God, through what you reveal about yourself in your word. Father, we're here today because we want to know you. We need to know you. Father, you're the whole reason for life and living. Lord, draw us close. Let us see you. Let us know you. Let us grow in you. Let us trust you. Let us obey you and be faithful to you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we come together with the Lord today, we're going to be in Psalm 46. And as we turn to Psalm 46, and it's one of my favorite psalms. It's a psalm that we can turn to, and I frequently do in times of difficulty or stress or worry or frustration. You know, even though we trust the Lord and know the Lord, all of us go through times and face circumstances, situations that are just too much for us. Trials or adversities, disappointments, heartaches, loss. How can we face such times? Now, I know we all know the answer we're supposed to give, the fact that we ought to trust the Lord in those times. That's absolutely true. Everything in God's Word confirms that. But as we think about that answer of trusting the Lord, and again, it's the right answer, we have to ask ourselves the question, and we need to have the answer within our heart. Can he really do it? Is he really worthy of that trust? Can we really count on him in those difficult situations of life? Well, as we look at Psalm 46, we see that God is all we need, no matter what. And so look with me, and we'll just go ahead and read through this psalm to begin with. Again, it's one of my favorites. But Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Why is it that we can trust God even in those difficult situations? Why is it that God truly is all we need no matter what? Well, as we look at this passage, we see several wonderful truths that we need to see, to understand the passage, but to understand in our life and in our living. The first one that we see is his presence. Look again at what we see in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I love that verse. It doesn't just say that God is a help in trouble. It doesn't even say that God is a present help in trouble. It says God is, in fact, a very present help in time of trouble. We cannot even begin to imagine how close to us God is. He's closer to us than the air in our lungs. God is, in fact, always with us. And you think about the difference that makes when we stop and contemplate it, when we see in verses 2 through 3. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. You know, even if the earth began to violently disintegrate, there'd be no need to fear. God is with us. You just imagine being, you know, on the side of a volcano when it begins to erupt, or in an earthquake when the earth begins to shake. You begin to think what it must be like to see a tsunami coming. Try to put all those three things together. It still would not be a reason to fear, because God is in fact with us. You may be going through some circumstance in your life right now, and where it seems like in your heart and your soul and your experience, that's exactly what's taking place. Your heart feels like a volcano with what you're facing. Everything's been so shaken in your life, you feel like you're in an earthquake. You feel like you're being overwhelmed, like you're in a tsunami. God is our very present help in trouble. You think about what we see over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Because, and listen to the last part of the verse. For he himself has said, I will never desert you nor forsake you. The wonderful truth of the matter is the fact that our God is in fact with us. He is with you now. You may be in some situation where it seems like everything is coming unglued. Understand that God is a very present help in trouble. He is, in fact, there with you. But not only do we have His presence, we also have His provision. You think about what we see in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Now you think about the geography, you think about the setting of where this psalm is written, obviously from the land of Israel. You think of how arid, how dry it is, how essential water is, how precious water is. In some small way, this was made real to me after marrying Jane, who's from Colorado, and visiting out there. Beautiful place, but very arid, very dry. It's amazing, you know, the lengths that they go to conserve water, to hold on to it, to use it wisely. In contrast with me, having grown up here in Georgia, where we have this wonderful abundance of water, not to say that we need to waste it, but just saying just a complete change. And yet you think about what God is saying here, is that He is the wonderful provision that we in fact need. Now, literally, that will be fulfilled when, for instance, when you read Ezekiel 47, when you see what it will be like when Christ comes to establish His kingdom. Lord, the wonderful richness that Israel will experience then when she is in fact right with her Lord and experiencing the blessings there, and Christ is ruling as King. But it is also a picture of what you and I can experience in our life. You know, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. Whatever it is that we need, God Himself will provide it. Yes, in the physical provisions that we need, but also for the spiritual and emotional needs that we have. You think about Psalm 23, the psalm we know so well, and David talked about his cup running over. You think about what he's talking about, the richness of knowing God, the fullness in his heart and his life from knowing God. You think about what our Lord told the woman at the well there in John chapter 4 and in verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. You think about that picture there, the fullness, the richness that comes from knowing Christ, his perfect provision. Even in the worst of times, the reason that we can trust him no matter what is because of his provision. Yes, for whatever physical needs we have, financial resources, whatever the case may be, but also the spiritual and the emotional. God will in fact provide. We have his presence. We have his provision. But notice what else we have. We have his protection. Think about what we see in verses 5 through 7. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Again, while it's obviously ultimately looking forward to that wonderful time of deliverance that God will have for Israel in the future, it was based on a situation that they had in fact seen. Like many of the Psalms, there was an immediate fulfillment. But then there was a far greater fulfillment that was beyond that. You see that in prophecies of the coming Christ, of his coming work. This is one of those situations. So there's obviously, you know, this greater fulfillment out there when Christ fulfills all this for the nation of Israel. But there is the immediate fulfillment that they had already seen. Now, some Bible scholars think this is a reference to the invasion by Assyria against Judah. When Hezekiah prayed and God killed 185,000 Assyrians and they had to back off, you see that in 2 Chronicles 32, and you see it also in Isaiah chapters 36 through 37. We don't know that for certain. It was certainly fit. But if we study through the Old Testament, you'll see numerous times when God wonderfully, miraculously delivered his people. That being just one example and probably the premier example in terms of a battle and deliverance. But you see what took place there. God protected his people, even in that situation, and even in a far more difficult situation in the future when you study prophecy. God protects his people. We have his protection. Nothing can approach us that God does not allow, and he only allows it for our ultimate good and his use and his glory. And so, yes, we know the answer, and as we go through situations, is to trust the Lord. Is he really worthy of that trust? Can we really count on him? You think about his protection. You think about it. This is why it's so helpful to go and to be in the scriptures, to see how God worked and moved and delivered his people. We have his wonderful protection. You have his protection, whatever it is you're in today. Just as assuredly as he was with Hezekiah, even if that wasn't the specific episode mentioned here, you go back and you read that. God's wonderful protection of his people. We have that as well. But then also we have his power. You think about what we read in verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. You think about our God's great power. Nothing can limit it. Our God is unlimited in his power. No matter what situation comes before God, and everything does, but no matter what the situation is, no matter how great or how large it is, and God miraculously moves to deal with that situation, the defeat of the Assyrians, for instance, God hasn't been drained of any of his power because his power is unlimited. You know, unlike you or I, we have something to do. We need to move furniture around, and we may be able to do it, but afterwards we can feel that we've done it. God never feels like he's done it after he's done everything. Because it never drains his power. He is the unlimited God. And you think about how we see this. You think about, we see it in comparison to nature. Look at the latter part of verse 8. Who has wrought desolations in the earth. You think about God's working in nature and in creation. You know, I love creation. I love to get out. God spoke all of that into existence. Nothing limits his power or his ability. You think about in terms of man's arsenal and ability. Verse 9, he makes the wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. You know, the reality is, no matter how advanced man becomes, no matter what new technological thing he may conceive, no matter how powerful his machines or even his weapons of war may become, he is still nothing but a worm before an almighty God. And I mean that in terms of power. God deeply loves us. I'm not taking away from that. I'm talking about in terms of our power. There's nothing in creation that limits God's power. And there's certainly nothing that mankind can do to limit his power. Why can we trust God in that situation? Because God's power is in fact completely, totally unlimited. He is able because of that unlimited power. But then notice what else we have. Number 5, we have his peace. Listen to verses 10 and 11. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Cease striving. Relax. As we might say it, take your hands off. You know, as we think about trying to handle the situations of our life, and that's what we try to do sometimes, is handle them. How good it is to be able to turn them over to God and to rest in Him. You know, you think about some situation, and you may have experienced it recently, but you can certainly imagine it even if you hadn't. Some situation where you may have a little bit of skill or knowledge, not that much, not that great, but you've got some, and how good it feels to be able to hand it over to somebody who really knows what they're doing. You know, maybe you are in a setting and all of a sudden some person there has a medical emergency, and you have some basic first aid teaching training. And so you go do what you can, which isn't very much. How good it is to have the EMTs or the paramedics come in, or someone present who has that training, or a doctor or a PA, to be able to hand it over to somebody who really knows what they're doing. Do you realize that's but a small illustration of what we ought to feel when we turn our problems and our worries and our burdens and our concerns over to God? If we feel a sense of relief turning over that medical emergency to the trained paramedic, how much more should we feel turning every situation over to an all-powerful, as we've already stated, ever-present, all-wise, knowing, perfect, living God? It ought to give us a peace. In fact, as God wants us to have that peace, you think about what we read in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, we can turn it over. We can trust it to God no matter what it is, and the result of that ought to be a peace within our soul, because you think of the one we're turning it over to. And so, yes, to go back to our original question, can our Lord really handle the problems we bring before Him? Absolutely. The question is not whether or not He can handle them. The question is whether we will turn those over to Him. And you may be going through some very difficult situation today, and I won't belittle it, downplay it in any way. Maybe a very major problem. But you think of the God that we're before. He can handle it. Trust Him. Rest in Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day, that You are a God who's worthy of our trust. And Lord, I pray, Father, that each of us will entrust everything in our lives to You. And Lord, for those especially, Lord, who are going through a very difficult time today, Lord, lead them, O God, to entrust that situation to You, knowing Your presence, Your power, being able to experience Your peace. Father, O Lord God, May they be able to trust you with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, it's been good to be with you, and do trust that these times are as much of a blessing for you as they are for me. And I hope that you're able to take these truths that we've seen even today and apply them to your heart and your life, and to be able to see God work and move. And as you walk with Him, have fellowship with Him, I hope that you have a great day in Him.